Sandy asked that she would be able to say a few words, and so.
A few words, I promise.
Okay.
My dad died whenever I was in high school, and I decided to go into drugs. I sold it. I paid it. I was deep into everything but shooting up. And all of a sudden, I wind up in jail. You know.
Hey, Tom.
Would you get me a mic? 7 years of drugs. The Lord was not in that.
Yes, stand.
And all of a sudden, I sang that song to the Lord. When I went into court after 3 days of being in jail, the judge said, Sandy, come up. And I came up. He goes,
thanks.
All the drugs have been given away or stolen or something. There is nothing here to hold you if you're good for 6 months. You were left free. And that song is what I sang over and over.
Praise the Lord. That's good. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Sandy. God is a wonderful, marvelous, awesome God. Did you know that He wants to bless you this year? A lot of times we think of God as being some ogre who wants to, who's looking out at everything we do wrong and punishing us. But actually, God is wanting to bless you. How many of you wished a happy new year to people you don't even know? Maybe your cashier at the grocery store, or the fellow that's pumping your gas, or the lady who's pumping your gas. You just want. How does it make you feel to wish people a happy new year? It is. There's kind of like joy in blessing others, isn't there? And did you know that God gets joy from blessing you? We're going to look at a passage of Scripture this morning. We've been talking about spiritual gifts, and I'm going to get back to that, but we're going to leave that for a minute, actually at least for a couple of weeks, and then we're going to, because there's something I really feel like we need to understand that the Lord wants to do for us this year. In Numbers chapter 6, Verses 23 through 27, let me get rid of this. Scripture says, God told Moses to speak to Aaron and to his sons. And if you remember your Old Testament, Aaron and his sons were the priests for the temple. They were the priests for the children of Israel. And he says, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and then I will bless them. Isn't that cool? The Lord wants to bless His children. That's His desire, is to bless His children. Now, is this blessing only for the Israelites? You could say yes and no. Okay, because if you are a child of God, Scripture says you have been grafted in, okay, to the tribe of Israel, to the nationality of Israel. And so this, if you are a child of God, you have received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Spiritually, you are an Israelite. And the gifts and the blessings that the Lord wanted to invoke upon the children of Israel, He wants to invoke upon you and I. Isn't that crazy? That is so crazy that God wants to invoke His blessings on His children. I mean, He's all geared up to do that. He wants to do that. So I want us to talk about this name. He says, I want to invoke my name on you. So I want to talk about the name. I don't know what translations you normally read in Scripture. But do you see this passage of Scripture here, the word L-O-R-D, all of them are capital letters. Depending on how the word is written, if it's a capital L-O-R-D, in maybe the New King James Version, maybe the King James Version, what you're going to find is that word is for Jehovah. That's the name, that's the English word given for the God's title, or God's name, Jehovah. Now, if you find the word G-O-D, capital letters, that's also Jehovah. So if you're reading through your Bible, we would not really grasp that just reading through your Bible. But the Lord has a few different names, and one of them is the Lord, capital Lord, Jehovah. Another one is, we find in Genesis, capital G, small letters O and D, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And this word is the Greek word, I'm sorry, the Hebrew word Elohim. Did you know that that word is plural? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Plural. Now, let me just say, there's only one God. Okay? However, he has chosen to reveal himself in three distinct personalities: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So, who created the heaven and the earth? Was it God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? Yes. Exactly. They worked together to create the universe. There's another passage, or I'm sorry, there's another rendering of his name, and it's a capital L, small O-R-D, and that is the word Adonai. So let me go through some of these. Let me just say that when we talk about Jehovah, the YHWH is the way you will find the Jews would write that out. And the reason they would write it out that way is because they did not want to mispronounce, nor would they want to misrepresent the name of God, because there was, in their estimation, and hopefully in yours as well, taking the name of the Lord in vain is a pretty serious offense. And so rather than them taking the name of the Lord in vain, they just chose not to put any vowels in, so nobody could take it in vain because nobody knew how to pronounce it. Okay? So they chose not to put the vowels in and just only put the consonants in, Y-H-W-H. Now, we think it's either Jehovah or Yahweh, either one. We really don't know for sure, but God says, this is the name that I want to invoke upon my children. There should be some reverence due the name of God. And I've heard people refer to God as the man upstairs. Some people think of him as being the great Santa Claus. But this really doesn't, this is not who God is. God is so much more than we can ever even imagine. The Israelites had a fear of mispronouncing his name, and so therefore they would not pronounce it at all. Once I had an opportunity to visit an Amish community in Ohio, And I don't know how much you know about the Amish community, but they did not want you to take their picture. And they would not have pictures in their homes. And the reason is because one of the Ten Commandments that says you will not make unto thee any graven image or bow down to them to worship them. And so rather than making any graven image or even having a picture of an image, they would just rather not have that in their home at all, so there's no temptation of going that direction. And so that's kind of what the Israelites did. Rather than speaking the name of God incorrectly, they just chose not to speak it at all. Particularly this one, Jehovah or Yahweh. This name is the holy name of God, and this is the name that God wanted to invoke upon you. Scripture says, "They shall put my name upon the children of Israel." So, what is this God, Jehovah? Did you know that God becomes what you need at the moment? Do you remember when God approached Moses, or actually I guess Moses approached God with this burning bush, and God says to Moses, "I want you to go to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt." And Moses says, "Well, who will I say that's sending me?" And God said, "I am. I am. I am who they need me to be. I am their deliverer. I am their savior. I am their provider. Anything they need, that's who I am." And did you know that that's who God is for you as well? Whatever you need at the moment, God says, "I'm there. I'm here for you. Whatever you need, I am here." Abraham became aware of Jehovah Jireh. Do you remember what that means? My provider. We sing a song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And what happened was that Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac. He was taking him up to Mount Moriah. Isaac had the wood on his back. Probably Abraham had the fire. And Isaac says to his dad, "Dad, I see the wood and I see the fire, but I don't see the sacrifice." Now, little did he know that he was supposed to be the sacrifice. And so Abraham told him, "Son, the Lord will provide a sacrifice. The Lord will provide." And so they got the altar ready. They laid Isaac down just a moment before Abraham was to plunge that knife into Isaac's heart. God spoke to Abraham and said, "Abraham, don't sacrifice your son." And Abraham looked up, and there was a ram caught in the bramble bushes. And so Abraham went over, got the bramble bushes, and he made this statement, "The Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, will provide." And I'm sure there's been times in your life when the Lord has provided in a miraculous way. You did not see that coming. You didn't know where the provision was coming from. But somehow, God made that available to you. This morning I've asked Tom if he would to share an instance where God provided. There's probably more than one, but just one. I'll get you the...
Okay. Hi. Yeah, so anyway, I've been a believer. It was probably around 1993, maybe 92. So it'd been a couple of years I started going to church. So I'd been a believer about 5 or 6 years. I just started tithing, but I wasn't given 10% because I didn't have it to give. And I prayed and prayed, and I said, Lord, I want to give you everything I can, but I can't really give you 10%. So he said, do 5%. So I did 5%, right? So I'm giving 5%. And every payday, I would pay my babysitter, because at the time, I was separated from my first wife. I had 2 kids, and we were living in an apartment. And we were just getting by, man. I mean, just getting by, week to week. So I would take my paycheck, go cash it, go pick up my kids from the sitter on Friday, pay her, first and foremost, pay her. Then I'd go home and I'd write out bills. I'd buy a tank of gas because that would get me to work and back for 10 days. I didn't have hardly any money extra. And then, anyway, so it was really tight. That's what I'm getting at, real tight. And one day I wrote my checks. I sat down and I wrote my tithe check and I looked at the balance. I had 10 bucks left. I'm like, man, Lord. And I look in the cupboard. I had a thing of rice, a 1 gallon can of coffee had some rice in it. Another gallon can of coffee had some pinto beans in it. Had about that much milk in a gallon jug. I had some oatmeal and some cornmeal. And literally, that was about it. And I'm like, man, Lord, what are we going to do? And I'd go to church the next day. That was Saturday. Have 10 bucks. I normally didn't take my checkbook to church. I just take a check for tithe. Well, for some reason this week, I happen to take my checkbook, right? And I write out my tithe check for the 5%. I give it to the church. And this lady named Eleanor Workman was a missionary. She developed a couple of orphanages down in Haiti. She showed up, first time I ever heard of her. And she's about 80 at the time. And she's talking about how God did this miraculous thing, right? And drew her from Los Angeles. The story's incredible. Anyway, so she's down in Haiti. She comes to Tualatin, to Grace Community Church. She's talking. And I'm like, oh, man, Lord, if this woman asks if somebody's supposed to go, I'm gone. I'm going. I'll go. And she didn't, thankfully, because I probably didn't need to drag 2 kids to Haiti, but I would have. And I'll tell you honestly, they're starting to pass the hat to support this orphanage. And I'm just sitting there kind of going, man, that's crazy. And the Lord says, give her $5. And I'm like, what? And I'm telling you, it's not like I could seriously hear him with my ears, but almost. It was loud in my spirit. Give her $5. I'm like, Lord, I can't give her $5. And the hat's passing. It was a pretty big church. So it's passing. I'm like, Lord, I got 10 bucks. I got no food. Give her $5, Tom. Fine, Lord. Oh, I got my checkbook, so I give her $5. Throw in the hat. I'm walking out the door. These 2 ladies I knew really well go, are you all right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And I just keep walking, you know. So I get home. And Monday comes. I went and got the kids from the sitter, come home. We're walking from the truck, and I'm literally going, man, Lord, I don't even know. I think the kids are tired of beans, and I don't know what we're going to eat. And we're walking to the apartment, and my neighbor is walking out of his apartment with 2 grocery bags. And he goes, hey, you want this stuff? And I'm like, what is it? And he goes, it's groceries. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he says, well, I'm moving. And I said, well, why don't you take it with you? He goes, I'm moving to Ohio or somewhere. And I'm like, oh, well, sure. And I took it. And these bags were heavy. I mean, they were heavy, packed, overflowing. I get in the house. Man, there's the orange juice, cereal, meat, potatoes, vegetables, canned goods, everything. So much I couldn't believe it. And I'm just like praising the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't make the connection. I didn't make the connection that it's for $5, right? I didn't make that connection. So we start into our week. And I get a call from the bank. And they said, man, you got some hot checks, like a lot of them. you're bouncing checks everywhere. I'm like, what do you mean? Well, my estranged wife was running around southern eastern Oregon writing hot checks all over the joint. And so I'm like, oh, man. So I go to the bank, and I'm like, hey, just so happens that the one of the bank people was a friend of mine's from work, wife. And so I went and talked to her, and she goes, well, I'll tell you what, I see what's going on. It's obvious you're not doing this, so we're going to cancel. She canceled half of my hot check fees, and they were $30 a pop. And there was a ton of them. I don't remember how many, but it was like $600-800 worth. So she canceled that. I didn't make the connection, right? Still didn't make the connection. I'm like, man, thank you, Lord. That's awesome. And I'm still paying off debt, but whatever. It's less, and I'm grateful. So then, like a Monday or a Tuesday morning, I go out to my truck to take the kids to work. And I don't know if you've ever seen a tire come separated where the steel belts pop out of it, but they were like my fingers poking out around about a third of the wheel. And I'm like, oh, man. So the kids are in the truck. I jack it up real quick, throw my bald spare on there. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got bald tires. And, we'll just see what happens. I go to work that day. This guy that could not stand me, he walks up to me and he says, hey, man, what size tires you got on that truck? And I told him. He goes, you should go talk to Bill Town. He might have some tires for that thing. And I've never even talked to him about my tires at all, right? Didn't mention nothing. So I go over and talk to this guy, Bill Town. He goes, yeah, I got some tires. Yeah, they'll fit perfect, yeah. So he gives them to me right there. He's got them in his truck. And I look at them, and they got like 85% tread on them left. Brand new tires. And there was more. I wished I would have written it down. I did write it down, but I can't find the paper because I'd write them on bulletins for the church and stuff. But anyway, the point is, just over that smidge of listening and hearing and acting, God poured out his blessing. And you know, honestly, I think he would have done it for me anyway. I think he would have found a way to do that anyway. But he used that to show me, Tom, it's all mine. Don't worry about it. You give what I tell you to give when I tell you to give it. Don't worry about it.
Right.
It was a crazy time. There's more. But I was told I can only tell one.
Thank you, Tom. Sorry, we'll figure it out in a minute. All right. Thank you, Tom. And I'm sure you've got similar stories, how God has just provided time after time. There's a passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 that says, and my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Now, he made this promise to the Philippian church who, kind of like Tom, they didn't have a lot to give, but they gave anyway. God gave out of their poverty rather than out of their abundance. And the Lord just says, you know what? I'm going to provide everything you need. And, we don't hurt here in the United States for much. And the Lord has provided much for us. There's another. So Moses, discovered God to be Jehovah Nissi, which means God my banner. Let me tell you the story or why or how he was able to discover God being his banner. And when you think of a banner, you think, well, that's kind of like a flag flying. But basically what it is God is the one who fights my battles. The one who fights my battles. Amalek was coming against Israel. And now you've got to remember, Israel was just they were not a fighting force. They were a bunch of slaves just coming, just a ragtag group coming out of Egypt. They didn't have the weapons. They didn't have the swords. They didn't have spears. They didn't have a lot. And yet here comes Amalek trying to keep them from coming into their land. And so what happens is, there's a new guy on the block. And Joshua becomes the general for the army. So Joshua is fighting against Amalek, and Moses is up on the hill raising his hands and praying. And as long as Moses has his hands raised, Joshua is winning the battle. But have you ever raised your hands for a long period of time? Pretty soon your arms become tired. They begin drooping. And so every time Moses would put his hand down, Amalek would begin winning the battle. So he'd raise his hands back up. And Joshua would start winning the battle with the Israelites. His arms would get tired, start letting them down. And finally, two guys, Hur and Aaron, come beside Moses and began to prop his, they sit him down and they began to prop his arms up. And by the end of the day, Amalek is beaten. By the end of the day, Joshua and the Israelite army has won the victory. And Moses says, God is my banner. The Lord fights for us. Let me ask you a question. What are you up against? Are there some battles that you're facing? Physically? Spiritually? Relationally? What are some battles you're facing? But I want you to know that God is the battle. He's the one who will fight for you. A lot of times we want to go in with guns blazing. But God says, wait on me, trust me, and I will show you what to do. One of the things we need to be that we need to take away from this story with Moses is that prayer is a very important battle weapon. And God can do a lot in prayer that we can't do under our own power. Scripture says it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so when we're fighting these battles, we need to understand that it's God who wants to fight for us. He is on our side. He wants to bless us. Jehovah Nissi, he wants to be our banner during these difficult seasons. Gideon knew God, began to know God as Jehovah Shalom. Do you remember what Shalom means? The God our peace. I'm going to share more about that next week because it's a tremendous story. But if you go back to the blessings that God wants to give to his children, one of the blessings he wants to bestow upon you is the blessing of peace. And so I'll share that story next week. Another way that God has revealed himself is Jehovah Rapha, which is my healer. So Moses and the children of Israel were heading out through the desert, and they came upon this body of water, and the body of water is called Marah, which means bitter water. Have you ever had bitter water? It was nasty. And so they began drinking this water, and they said, man, we can't drink this water because it's so nasty. And so what happens is that God tells Moses to throw a branch in there. He throws a branch in there, and the water is healed. And then God says, I am the Lord that heals you, Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that heals you. We've seen a lot of healings that take place even in this congregation. Did you know that God wants to bless you with that name, Jehovah Rapha? He does. He wants you to know Him in experiencing that. I wonder sometimes, and I'm sure you do too, why isn't everybody healed that we pray for? I don't know that. I don't know why there are some people that are healed and some people that are not. I don't know that. But regardless of whether we understand it or not, God is our healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. In Psalm chapter 103:3, Scripture says that He forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. God wants to reveal Himself to His children. He wants to bless you this year. Jeremiah knew Him as Jehovah Tsidkenu, which is the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah prophesied one day that there was going to be a ruler, there was going to be a king who would come and rule in righteousness. He would come to the earth, and He's not going to be bribed with injustices. He's not going to be voted out. He's not going to be forced out of office. He's not going to be assassinated. This is the Lord our righteousness. The word Tsidkenu actually means one of integrity, upright, straight, and narrow. Scripture says that the Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord is our righteousness. So when you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, something miraculous takes place. Your sins, all of us have sin. Scripture says that our sins are transferred to Jesus and His righteousness is transferred to us. Isn't that incredible? The Lord our righteousness. It's not by your own merit. It's not by your own power. It's not by your own good works that you are made righteous. It's only by Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, after we become Christians, of course, that righteousness has to work in us. We have to work with the Holy Spirit for that to become evident. And hopefully every day, every week, every year, that's becoming more pronounced in your life. The righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. But because Jesus Christ became our righteousness, it is ours through Him." It is ours. You have the blessings of the Lord, the righteous God working for you and working in you. The last thing I want to share this morning is that Jehovah is salvation. The English word for that is Jesus. The Hebrew word for that is Yeshua. Jehovah is salvation. Matthew 1:21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son. They shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Yeshua, Jesus is salvation. The Lord wants to bless you. He's crying out to bless you. He told the priests, put this blessing, invoke this blessing on the children of Israel so they can receive the blessings that I want to give them. But did you know that they have to receive it? Even though God wants to bless them with salvation, God wants to bless them with righteousness, God wants to bless them with provision, God wants to bless them with His banner, He wants to fight. Did you know that we have to receive that? It doesn't come automatically. Although God wants to give it to us, we have to receive that. We can only receive salvation when we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We can only receive His righteousness when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We have to receive Him. The Lord's Supper is a picture and a remembrance of what Jesus did for us on the cross to ensure our salvation. The unleavened bread is a picture and represents the sinless body broken for our healing. Scripture says, by His stripes we are healed. The juice represents the blood poured out for our cleansing, our redemption, our hope. I want to ask you a question. Have you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Is He working these things in you? Have you received the blessings that He has for you? When Jesus met together with His disciples in the upper room, He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." He blessed it. Father, I come before You today. And Lord, I thank You for the many wonderful blessings that You've given us. Lord, sometimes we don't understand, we don't get it in our heart. Maybe we understand in our head, but we don't get it in our heart. Lord, I just want to say thank You for the broken body. Thank You for pouring out Your blood for us. Lord, right now, we pray Your blessings upon this bread that we're about to eat. Lord, that You would do in us and for us what only You can do. And so, Lord, we receive this as a blessing from You. In Jesus' name. Then He took the juice, which represents the blood of Jesus Christ, represents the new covenant that we are now under as children of God. And so, Lord, we thank You for pouring out Your blood for us, for our redemption, for our salvation. And Lord, as we partake of this representation of Your blood, we thank You and we receive the blessings that come by being connected with You. In Jesus' name, amen. The worship team is going to come. We're going to sing a song of redemption, a song of decision. And if you may need to make a decision for Jesus, I'm going to ask that you do that today. That you would stand up, that you would come forward, and if you need prayer for anything, I'm here at the front to pray for you. If you need to come here and just pray at the front, then it's open.